I was thinking about this morning, I was praying about a certain situation, and Lord just reminded me, walking by faith, it's not an easy thing to do. And there's a lot of people that you just want to knock them upside the head. You think they ought to get it, but they don't. But like I've said before, if you don't eat it and drink it and walk it and talk it and sleep it, you ain't gonna get it. There's a diligency to it. It's not just, well, I'll just speak one time and then, and you see that. You'll see those that are willing to go into the fire and go through the pain and the agony to walk through it. And you see others, well, first right out of the box, when they don't see what they want to see, well, they call the doctor, they call the banker, they call the Indian chief, But, we shouldn't be condemning of them, because if they don't walk it and talk it and sleep it and eat it and drink it and everything else, they're not going to get it. And that's not to be negative. That is just the way the walk of faith is. In the Faith Hall of Fame, it talks about those that went into the fire, those that passed through the Red Sea. But you know what? As you go into that, you're in pain, you're in distress, you're in agony, but you choose to follow God anyway into the water, into the waves, into the lion's den, into the fiery furnace, or whatever the condition may be, and thinking, I believe God, I believe Him over what I see. They're the people that are going to get it, and they're going to get the answers. So if you got people in your life like that, don't despair today. Until they are willing to pay the price, they're not going to get it. And so we just might as well not be disappointed or try to stretch them beyond where they are. They have to make the decision between them and God if they will obey Him. Okay, for whatever purpose that was for. Anyway, for myself. Okay. All right, it's Sunday morning, 9:18:22. Lord, tell Lisa and Laura happy birthday. The Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is called God's Time, and they would be 46. Miss May was 27 yesterday. Maybe. No, 26. 26. Table's 27, gonna be 28. Okay. All right, there's only one timeline. This is kind of different, so I'm gonna need your attention. There's only one timeline. It is my timeline, not Carla Love's timeline, God's timeline. There are a lot of false things floating around out there about timelines. Anyone that says that there are alternate timelines are not accurate. And I think this is what spurred this. I don't listen to Gene Decode very much anymore, but I tuned in. I thought I was kind of curious at the title he began to talk about. They were asking about Gene, what do you see about the times and what's going on? He says, well, it depends on what timeline you're talking about, and this, and he starts rattling off all that stuff, and I just thought, I can't take this. So let's turn it off. Anyway, the next day, this is what the Lord said. Because of the lack of knowledge, labels are attached to things that are not biblical. Satan has interjected in my timeline with his stealing, killing, and destroying, but he has not changed it, and he never will. A lot of people think because Satan's done this, it's delayed God. No, he has a timeline. He set down in the very beginning. All right, Satan has interjected in my timeline with his stealing, killing, and destroying, but he has not changed it, and he never will. I am the all-knowing one, and the evil one will never put anything over on me. So stick with me and my word. It will never steer you wrong, and you will keep your balanced, or you keep balanced and walking in the light. I want to look at this scripture. This is Psalms 31. There's a lot of people out there that really love God and they have revelation on things, but then they're just as squirrely as a tree full of squirrels, I guess. out there on certain things. All right, this is Psalms 31, 14 and 15. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Satan gets no timeline. My time is set. It will be fulfilled in my time, and Satan cannot change it, even though he tries constantly to disrupt it. I'm echoing pretty bad. The end time event, that's good, will play out as I have designed, and nothing Satan can do with his false flag events will change it. He thinks he is in control, but he is not. I don't like the term, well, God is in control. Well, that means you do nothing. And I can't do nothing because God's in control and he's calling all the shots. So no matter what I do, nothing happens. Well, that's not talking about faith. It's talking about what he has set down in his word. And he's talking about his timeline. My timeline and the series of events are moving forward. Men, as usual, seem to give the devil more credit than me. Oh, the devil stole parts of the Bible. You have the living one inside of you. My epistles are written in your heart. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. Satan is the trickster. When Adam sinned in the garden, I knew what would happen. The trickster came along and talked them out of all the good I created for them. But I set it down in my written word that man had 6 days. No more, no less. Doesn't matter what the devil tries to do, 6 days, no more, no less. All will be fulfilled just as I said. So this is 2 Peter 3. I told you this was a little different. 2 Peter 3, 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir you up, and I'm still echoing, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Okay. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing that first there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. I mean, they're all over the place with everything you can imagine. Thinking who? I mean, unless you're in your Bible and you're really studying and letting the Holy Spirit lead you, you'd be totally confused, wouldn't you? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, you're saying, why is he tarrying? Why is he tarrying? Why is he tarrying? Because he's already laid it down in his word, his timeline. For this they willingly are ignorant of that. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. See, we're fixing to go into that last day, the 7,000th year, the millennial reign. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What has the devil done? Through the successive ages, through the thousands of years here, he has sabotaged and they've wiped out our history, our records. So we would not know. Well, the Holy Spirit lets us know. But so men would not know what time we are actually in. Yeah? Like I said, that's what the Lord's saying. Satan has interjected into my timeline trying to disrupt it and change it and all this stuff. But he can't. No matter what he does. Everything he does is going to fail. Ultimately. All of it. Right here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, or not wanting that any should perish, but that should all come to repentance. But this one right here. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That's where they're headed. Satan and his crew. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So he's already laid this all down in his word. There is, it's kind of like, if you look in the word, it's there. Even the books we have, it's there. A lot of people are really messed up on this. They just don't have a clue about anything concerning the Bible. Well, that tells me you're not in it. You're not in it. You could not be diligently in the word and not know. Why? When you read the word, the teacher of the church activates. I believe that. He puts light on the scriptures for us to understand. All right. Where did I leave off? All right. I am seated and I am resting. I'm not worried about the devil doing anything, for he cannot. Everything is fixed and set in place, just like the flat earth. The earth is established and at rest, the scriptures say. There's over 200 scriptures that substantiate flat earth. But you'll have people arguing to the ground over a heliocentric earth that they made up. Everything is fixed and set in place, and it will not be disrupted, no matter what the scoffers might say. All right, let's look at Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, verse 1, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You know, you think about the Big Bang Theory. It is nothing but order out of chaos. That's their theme, order out of chaos. This just happened one day. No, it didn't. Everything God does is with purpose. And there's not anything that's wasted, out of line, happenstance. Don't happen with God. If there's anything I learned about, he is a God. He's like our president, a man of law and order. Everything's to be done by the book. No matter what the crazies do, everything's to be done by the book. Well, that's the way God is. Everything is done, law and order. Yeah. God's law, God's order. And the government is not supposed to be any different. It's not two governments we're speaking over. We're speaking God's government. And that is our government. All right. Hebrews 4:1. So God is resting. He's not upset about what the devil's doing down here. Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So, Father's resting. We're resting. He rests, so we rest. Yeah. We should not be upset about anything. I did give my man free will to choose, but it does not change my timeline. I am always on time, and I am never late. I am long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but when the time runs out in the six-day plan, a new plan will begin. I will be dotted and every T crossed, just like the scripture says. Just like when Jesus came. For thousands of years, he did not come. But he came just exactly the way God said. Everything happened exactly what God said, how it would happen, and what would happen. All right. Time travel is part of the imagination. You can sit and go backwards or forwards in time in your mind. Think about it. You do it all the time. I and my angels are the time travelers. When a person is caught up, it is the gifts of the Spirit in operation. All right, makes sense? All right, we're going to look at some scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What's the Lord saying? Stick with my word. No matter who all the people out there and all the stuff they have or even all the experiences that they have had. I prayed for Gene yesterday. He's a very humble man. He loves God with all his heart, but he is messed up in some areas. And that's not his real name, so I can use it. I prayed for him, Lord, show him the truth. It's like these Christians that are doing tarot cards. Or these Christians that remote view. Well, I would say that's discerning of spirits in operation. That's not, you know, that other side, that's not of God. You can't just mix them up. That's like the Big Bang Theory. Yeah, we kind of believe part of this, part of that, and all that. That's not going to get you anywhere. All right. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Being caught up. Revelation 4. Revelation 4, verse 1 and 2. This is John. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he begins to describe what he saw in the throne room. Did he time travel? You betcha. He went to the third heaven. I guess the third heaven. All right. Get over to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 1. Satan takes everything God says and everything and twists it. Skews it. He's the twisty serpent. He twists God's word to make it say something else other than what it's really saying. And what does it do? It just brings confusion and division. All right. Verse 1 here, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Hezekiah the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. John saw this also in Revelation 4, 6 through 9. Four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. See, people talk about all these visions they have, and I'm always very skeptical of visions people have seen. Because when you look in the scriptures, they always see the throne room. But these people see all this weirdness. And I'm going, I'm skeptical of the validity of that. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they had four, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. This is God's time travel device. It is. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and the like appearance of lamps, and it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Reminds me of Back to the Future when he's got the steam engine at the end. Those wheels are turning and all that stuff. When they went upon all four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about with them four. What are the eyes for? God sees through time. Backwards, forwards, north, south, east, west. He sees. There's places in the Bible people go back in time. We're going to look at one instance of that, where it's like God visited someone from the future. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were the wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. God sits on the circle of the earth. That's where his throne is, over Polaris, North Star. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of the fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So get a picture of this. You know, I've never seen a picture that was worthy of the of what you read of these creatures. And they didn't ever go backwards. They just went forward. They didn't turn either. God doesn't turn. No shadow of turning. They go straight. It's, you know, you think that's odd. That's an odd sight. But these eyes and that will, God sees all things, all time, past, present, future. All right, let's keep going here. John chapter 6. I had a hard time writing all this down because I'm going, okay, Lord, help me to get this. Give me scripture. You've got to explain this to me. It's kind of a, you know, I still don't know that I understand all of it. But we don't have to look to the world for some new doctrine, some new thing. John 6:16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, which I don't know how far that is, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. And he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither he went. Time travel. Like I said, I don't know what 25 or 30 furlongs is. I don't know what the space that is. But they were immediately at the shore. All right. Acts chapter 8. Are you going to look it up? He's going to look up furlongs. We'll wait right here for a minute. How much a furlong is. We can see just how far they traveled in time. Satan don't have nothing on God. Just think about that. I don't care what you hear. Okay, an eighth of a mile.
So 8 of them would be a mile. So 20 of them would be 2.5 miles.
So 25 to...
You said 25 to 30?
30.
Oh, 25 to 30?
Mm-hmm.
So 25 would be, well, 24 of them would be 3 miles. So
around...
3 to 3.5 miles.
Right, okay. Well, that's a pretty good distance, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, now, let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south plain, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached Jesus unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and so they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So I don't know how far that is, but he was caught up in the Spirit. It's kind of like roads. We don't, where we're going, we don't need roads. Yeah, with that, who needs airplanes? Who needs anything like that? I know Kat Kerr talks about in heaven, in every mansion, there is a doorway. You walk through the doorway and you think, I want to go to Hawaii today. You're in Hawaii. She said, your heart's desire. Whatever you want to do, where you want to be. I thought, that sounds pretty good to me. Yeah. And I mean, I've heard Jesse DePlantis talk about a cloud filling his car. And 20 minutes later, or however long the space was, he's somewhere else. Where it's translated in the Spirit. So when we hear all this stuff, people getting it, you know, about stuff like this, we can say, oh, we know about that. Our God does that all the time. All right, let's keep going. The angels travel across time to take messages. Daniel chapter 10. I didn't write this one down, did I? Yeah, I did write the other one. Okay, Daniel 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I know it myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In the 24th day at the first month, as was by the side of the great river, which is the Decal, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked and beheld a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. Sound like Jesus in Revelation, doesn't it? And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Behold, his hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. All right, from what I understand, the next empire after Persia, it was going to be, you know, Cyrus and Darius and all those were coming. So he's fighting this principality right there. So he's coming from the future to bring Daniel this greeting. All right, verse 15. And when he, because there was no such at the time. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground. I became dumb, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake. and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the wisdom my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, there is their breath left in me. And then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, I, the prince of Grecia, shall come. See, after Persia was Greece, from what I understand. I think it was Alexander the Great, actually. Shall come. So this angel is over here fighting with this principality over this region. And he comes to Daniel to give him the message. All right? But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there's nothing that holdeth me in these things but Michael, your prince. All right? Time travel. Who knew? All right, Genesis chapter 28. And there's probably more places. These are just a few that came to mind as I was writing down what the Lord was giving me, trying to get my mind wrapped around what he was saying. All right, this is 28 verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Is that time travel? And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. All right, Jesus makes a statement in Matthew 24. I heard one of the so-called truthers say the other day, we can't command angels. I thought, I better not ever meet you anywhere, because I'm going to set you straight about that. Yes, they minister for the heirs of salvation. They hearken to the voice of God's word. This is Matthew 24:31. And this is Jesus makes this statement. And he shall send his angels with a great sound as of a trumpet. And they shall... That's the wrong one, sorry. Well, shoot. Just a minute. Make sure I can... Well, the scripture I was looking for was the one where Jesus said, You shall see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Wherever that is. All right. All right, Psalms 91. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yeah. Hebrews 1:14. I just put down a few. There's lots of scriptures on angels. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? They hearken unto the voice of his word. Do you know what scripture that is? I didn't write that one down.
It's in 103.
Psalms 103. Okay. We'll look at that one. All right, verse 20, 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Okay. When you speak God's word, it sends angels on assignment. All right, the Lord continues. My timing is set, and it will play out in my time, and Satan cannot manipulate it, nor can man. I have a perfect plan for man, but man has a choice. Satan tries to disrupt my plan, but without success. I'm not running on Satan's time or man's time, but my time. Satan sends temptations to tempt men to not follow my will, but my will still be done in earth as in heaven. Just at the right time, my time, I called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans. Just at the right time, my time, Moses was born. Just at the right time, my time, David slew Goliath. Just at the right time, my angel was sent to Mary. Just at the right time, my time, you were born. I control time. So no matter what Satan tries to do, no matter what men might do, I will come forth in my time. Always remember this, just like I have already laid it down in my word. No one, not one jot or tittle will pass away concerning my word. Let this keep you stable so you will not allow Satan to trick you. Romans 12, 1 and 2, about your mind being renewed with God's word and what his word has to say. So when you hear things, you recognize it immediately. No, that's not in line with God's word. The world, because of the trickster, the illusionist, has been completely turned upside down. He is trying to change everything into his image, but it will only be in mine for all time. All right.